You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
God bless football, Mikey A.
God bless football, Fuentes.
Hey, God bless football, Stu Gatz.
Hey, there he is. He didn't forget about you. Amazing. There is no Billy this week. He is he's on vacation. Chris Cody will be sitting in for a good portion of this episode with us. I am very excited. We are catching up with a couple of old friends, Mikey. Bubba Watson, who became a friend of the show during the Dolphins playoff run, and when they lost, he became a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, that was quite the turn.
Yeah, he's going to join us with Matthew Wolf, by the way, one of the teammates of his on his LIV Golf team. But also, and this is really, really the exciting part. Oh, my God. God bless you, Mikey A., for having the relationship with Mel Kiper Jr. that you do, because he is going to join us for like a half hour today, and I can't wait for it.
It's so good. He's so good.
I know.
I could talk to him all day during this time of year. Does anybody own a time of year more than Mel owns this? Like,
I would say there was a time. That's a great question. Mel owns the draft. I would say Nance used to own this time when he was going from the NCAA Final Four right over to the Masters. But who owns a time? It's a good question. Dick Vitale used to own March. He used to.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah, he used to own March.
Bob Costas kind of owns the Olympics.
He does.
Yes. Big Olympics guy, Bob Costas.
He does, yeah.
But like that's a month. Every 2-4 years.
Right.
Yeah, a month every 4 years, but it's his month.
Right. Like NBA. Like, but no one cares about, we care about this draft in a way we don't care about anything. I don't even care about the games this much.
It's the Olympics every year.
It's unbelievable. Mikey, we have a problem. We have a problem.
Do tell.
I think the Jets are good.
Oh, stop. Stop
I've never felt like this so early. I look at what the Bills.
We usually get the draft pick first.
I know. This is pre-draft, I'm saying it. We'll ask Mel who he thinks the Jets are going to take at number 9. But this is 10. A 10, excuse me. This is a product of the Bills getting weaker, losing Stephon Diggs. It's a product of the Dolphins losing some guys on defense and not really replacing them, and the Patriots just being flat lousy, which I haven't been able to say that in a long, long time, and it feels good to say it.
Feels so good. Feels so good.
You combine that with what the Jets have done here in the offseason, Rodgers getting healthy, I think the Jets are going to be good. Make it stop. I mean, tell me they're going to be bad.
I can't. I want to. I can't.
Somebody. I need anybody. I don't care who it is.
Fuentes, you're good for this.
Someone tell me the Jets are going to be bad.
I don't want to
soothe me.
I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be negative for you guys. You guys are my friends. You've had a lot of negativity for a long time. You don't need any from me.
All right, Fuentes, who am I throwing it to first? Is it? Are we going to Mel first? Are we going straight to the sacks? What are we doing?
I loved Mel, so we're going to go to Mel.
Okay. All right. Mel Kiper Jr. going to join us coming up next. And then our old friend, Bubba Watson, who convinced us he was a Dolphins fan right up until he was wearing a Chiefs jersey after the Chiefs eliminated the Dolphins.
Where's my boy Stu Gatz?
I'm right here, Mel. You can't see me yet.
There you are. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Talked to Mikey the other night. Mikey C, he's doing good.
Oh, wait a second. Time out. Stop everything. Mel, you speak to Mikey C? Like, you actually have conversations with him?
All the time.
Really?
He's our producer board op.
Okay. But you have conversations, intelligent conversations with Mikey C? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, always. unbelievable. The depth of those conversations would just knock you out.
That guy.
You
know?
Yeah. Chris Cody is with us, by the way, Mel. He's very excited.
I'm not excited. I'm nervous.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
What's up?
It is funny what Mel Kiper Jr. will do to someone. It's his time of year, by the way. He owns this time of year. But Chris Cody is both nervous. I guess a nervous excitement would be the best way to categorize it.
You asked me the other day if I want to sit in with Mel. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Right before the draft? Like, nothing I would want more in my life.
Mel, I hear you, man.
Mel, how does that make you feel? That has to make you feel good, Mel. It does.
Oh, it's been 46 years of this stuff. So it's been 41 now at ESPN. Mikey's been there pretty much the whole way. You've been there, a lot of those years. So, but it's been amazing how it's, you know, gained such fame in terms of the and national notoriety, the draft, how it's become such a thing we talk about all year. We don't just talk about in the months leading up to the draft and the weeks leading up to the draft. We talk about as soon as the draft's over, we're looking ahead to the 2025 draft. So it's kind of amazing how it's kind of taken off. And it's probably been that way for the last 20 years, I guess.
It's crazy. Are you ready, Mel? Are you ready for it?
I mean, you're all ready. Whenever you're ready. Yep.
Great.
No, I mean, we're rolling already, but are you ready? I'm just making sure you're ready just for the next month in
general. Oh, am I ready?
Yes.
whatever you got, you just get, you know, I just finished ESPN radio actually when I walked in here. So it's out the phone with a writer in Minnesota. So it's like it's nonstop in the podcast. First draft podcast this morning with Phil Yates. We do that every Monday and Thursday. So it's just nonstop all day, every day.
What does the post-draft vacation look like for Mel Kiper? When you finally get through it all and you get like a week or two, like good where question. Are we going? Yep. Like what does that look like? Paint that picture.
Going right out there on the bay, right out to the bay, relax out there, you know, a little crab and fishing, boating, relaxing. So up on the balcony, looking out, got a beautiful view up there. So it's really just a time to relax, but it's not a lot of time to just sit there and enjoy because you have a draft coming up next year. And what I do during the summer, guys, is I use those summer months to evaluate players because I have what I have time. Mm. I have time where the phone's not ringing. Nothing's necessarily needed to be done. So you can watch and study and evaluate. So I get so much done between early to mid-May, once we reviews are all over from the draft. Okay, the mini camps start. Once we've kind of finished all that, then I get to look forward to the 2025 draft. We'll actually have a top 10 up for next year's draft during day three of the draft, which I'll provide to our producer, Rob Adamski, the day before day three. Day two finishes. I'll give him that list. And like I said, the summer months are used for that evaluation because you have time to do it. And it's a great opportunity, too, to get an early opinion of what you think of the players prior to their final year. For a lot of these guys, it'll be their final year. Some will transfer, some will go back, but it'll really be a real good opportunity to get a good report on what you think going in. Then you can see how that changed from what you thought to what actually happened after that season was completed.
You ever get mad at a guy like Joe Burrow because you had your opinion of him in the summer months and then all of a sudden he takes that 1 year and he just skyrockets and you're like, come on, man, I was done with all this.
That's a good question.
How about Jaden Daniels? Jaden Daniels did the exact same thing that Joe did, both at LSU. Jaden was on from like a fourth round pick to the number two pick potentially overall. So Joe did it. Joe was not a phenomenal wow quarterback that first year at LSU. And all of a sudden he took off and became the guy. So again, some are the guy for a longer time. Some become the guy. Certainly in the case of in this year's draft, we look at where we are right now with Jaden. You know, Caleb Williams had been there. He'd been there at Oklahoma when he took over for Rattler and that Texas game, and he let him back, and it's been all Caleb since then. He finished off strong, goes to USC, has a great 2022 campaign. So Caleb's shown greatness for a long time. Jaden did it this year. As you said, Joe did it that final year. Now we have J.J. McCarthy, only threw, 34 passes in the fourth quarter of games this year. He's way up there now. Drake May, who didn't have a great wow performances late in the year. He's still up there at the top. So the evaluation of quarterbacks is fascinating every year and probably more so this year than any other I can remember.
Mel, how do you assess yourself in terms of when you do your final mock draft?
Does he grade himself?
No, I just mean like after. Right. What makes a successful draft for you in terms of your mocks? Like how many do you want to get right?
I would say to the mocks, hell no, I don't care. Okay. No, I could care less about the mocks and what ended up there because the mocks don't define what you did. What am I studying, all summer? As soon as this draft's over, what am I next year's prospect? Right. You're trying to figure out ratings and evaluations. Then the mocks, and I started this. I was just on the phone with a writer in Minnesota talking about the mock. And when I started with a six round mock, I did it back in 1979, 80, 81, three round mock, six round. on mocks, mocks everywhere, right? Now there's millions of them, right. Okay? But the mock, you have to get back to the basics. What's important? What do you look at? I was just talking to the writer in Minnesota about, you know, what do you look at? As soon as that player's picked, you don't go to a mock. You go to, what did Kuiper say about him? Where did Kuiper have him rated? Where did everybody else have him rated? What did they say about him? You don't care about where he was mocked. Okay. So at the end of the day, it's the ratings, the evaluations that were the most important thing. That was the nuts and bolts of the operation. It wasn't the mock. The mock was just a little side thing that we'll fun with. It became that for me to becoming now. That's all everybody talks about. You said, what about the mock? How do you feel about the mock? I don't care. Yeah. It doesn't. You try to get 25 of the 32 in there somewhere. There direct hits. If you have 7 or 8, be happy. Once trades are happening, it throws everything out of whack. So this notion that you should have 25 direct hits, people are nuts. I mean, if you have a crystal ball, if you're a psychic, maybe you got an advantage over me and anybody else that does that, but you better have that crystal ball and you better be a psychic if you think you're going to hit all those mock first rounders and get it all right.
What's the most exactos Mel Kiper Jr. has gotten in a first round of a draft?
Exactos.
Ironically, it was a couple years ago in terms of, I don't know about overall. I don't even, like I said, I don't check it because I don't care. I'm right. Sure somebody on the internet has it all.
What Mel's trying to say is he's Mel Kiper Jr. and he owns this time of year. That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did a mock. I do 16 of these mocks, right? I do right. 4 mocks. I used to do 5. Now I'm doing 4. I'm not doing the morning of the draft because that's nonsensical. But I think when you look at, I'm going to do news and notes and projections and analysis and a lot more. But we went back to mock 1.0 that I believe comes out mid-January every year. About mid-January, that mock, guys, 3-4 years ago was more accurate than any I've done. And that was mock 1.0 in mid-January.
Wow.
And you know, and that was more accurate than the final mock I did the morning of the draft. Okay. So I remember a draft a few years ago. I walked down, I had done it the night before. I walked down for breakfast and I had Josh Allen locked into the Cleveland Browns. It was no question Josh Allen was going number one. Figure I got that right. I get down to breakfast and I'm told that it's going to be Baker Mayfield. And it's like, okay, that's how you feel about mocks, guys. You don't have to deflate. Couldn't even eat breakfast that morning. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't even get the first pick right in a mock draft that just came out this morning to everybody to see. Talk about looking like an idiot. Are you kidding me? You just came out with a mock draft with all the latest information, and Kuiper's got Josh Allen going number one, and now we find out it's going to be Baker Mayfield. That, guys, is why I could care less about mock drafts. Now, do I do them, and do I try to be right? I don't mail it in. I make calls. I'm trying like hell to get that right. But at the end of the day, first thing I'm looking at after the draft and 3 years down the road, I'm not looking at mocks. I'm looking at my ratings and how accurate or not accurate they were.
Mikey, yeah, you and I have interviewed Mel on this show, I think 3 or 4 consecutive years now. I am not comfortable with Mel sitting in a lighted living room by the fireplace. I need him in hell. I need him down in a dungeon with draft boards everywhere. Yep. Mel, what are you doing? I mean,
living good. That's what he's doing.
Hey, remember Lebatard? He used to give me so much grief about the big board. Where's the big board? I want to see the big board. I don't know. I don't believe there's a big board. Guess what? It's a private board that nobody's ever going to see. So, and there's going to be no discussion about seeing a big board. It's back there. It's back there.
Right.
It's there.
Okay.
But nobody's ever going to see it.
Okay. All right. I just prefer you in the basement. So next time, I mean, I'm enjoying you right now in the living room, but the basement to me is where a mock draft guy needs to be. You're not a mock draft guy.
So
you're
an expert. That's where it all began. That's, like I said, that's where, and I was just doing talking about the history. That's where it all began, in the basement in Baltimore with the big satellite dish on the roof. So again, yeah, that's how you did the work then. And that's how it continues now. It's a little easier now because information's, think about this, guys. I used to have to spend days every week calling 40, 50 schools every day to get basic stats. If I wanted to, how many catches a receiver had, his average per catch, how many sacks did a pass rusher have, how many interceptions, pass breakups. I couldn't go to the end. I had to call schools. So I would spend a day or two every week just calling schools for basic fundamental statistical information.
Amazing.
So how time consuming was that? It was tremendously time consuming. Right. Guess what? You had to do it. And guess what it also did? I got friendships around the college football ranks that have been with me forever. I'd call those guys. I remember I got a good tip one, even Justin Herbert. Called my buddy at Oregon. Hey, He's, you know, he may not be the guy that's going to come in, but he's the smartest guy in the room, and the players love him. They'll go through a wall for Justin Herbert. And when you get that about, called Craig Bowe at Wyoming, about Josh Allen, most competitive player I ever coached. Those are the things you get by making calls and networking and basically making calls for basic information led to great friendships for 30, 40 years.
Yep, kids, there's a lesson to be learned there. Get off your phones and actually use your phone and speak to someone on the other end, okay?
Yeah.
Right. That's how you form relationships. Mel is right. Go ahead, Chris.
Mel, do you ever get calls from parents of draft prospects of like, hey man, why do you have my kid in the fourth round? Like, I could really use a second round evaluation.
McShay used to tell us that parents would like scream stuff at him in an airport, like they're mad at him, you know?
Oh, I tell you, you do get that. I tell you, it's great because I think you get an opportunity to get to a family and try to allow them to ask questions. I always said, whatever questions you have, it's just one man's opinion. I'll find out what other people are thinking in the league. I'll give you their opinion. The most of this takes place, guys, for me, when they're trying to decide, are they coming out or are they staying? Now it's, are they transferring or are they staying? Right now we got, NIL, they're staying, they're moving on if they don't start. That, but back in the day, it was always about, should he come out? Should he stay? I remember I got a call from Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn called me directly.
He
said, Simeon Rice, I talked to directly. So about should they come out or should they stay? Wow. And Keyshawn said, hey, Mel, where am I going? I said, probably middle of first, maybe in that 8 to 15. That's not good enough. I got to be at the top. I got to be up there. I said, Key, if that's the case, you got to go back to USC. Key went back and he became the number one pick overall. Simeon Rice wanted to be in that top group. He went back to Illinois, became a top pick, top five pick overall in the draft. So sometimes you would talk directly to the players. Sometimes it was mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles, could be anybody, friends of the player. But you were trying to help them make a educated decision on whether they should stay or whether they should come into the NFL draft.
Mel, who is the best football player in this year's NFL draft?
I think it's Caleb Williams. I think he's been there, done that. I don't think there's any reason to overanalyze it. He's a great player. He's been that way, like I said, since he stepped on a field against Texas. Watched him play high school football at Gonzaga, which isn't far from where I am right now. So he's been great since he was at Gonzaga, moving on to Oklahoma, then to USC. And people want to critique the Notre Dame game on. He had a bad offensive line this year. He didn't have Jordan Addison, okay? When he had all that in 2022, he was phenomenal. So again, you think about Caleb Williams, and one thing I hate as much as talking about a mock draft is comps. I'm not a comp guy.
Right.
I throw them out there because you have to, but comps are never, nobody's comp to a mediocre bust of or a player or is disappointed. It's always to the great players, all the Pro Bowlers, all the All Pros, all the best. That's who we comp everybody to. So I don't get into that, but you know who Caleb Williams has been comped to. It's for a reason. He is a master creator. And to answer your question, he's without question, I think, the best player in this draft.
Mel, who's the player that you're seeing the most disparity from, whether it be from scouts and writers that you're talking to like how the media views them?
It's a lot of them this year. We were going through on the First Draft podcast, Field and I were talking about a lot, the mixed opinion, even on Drake May. Some people think Drake May is going to be with another year at North Carolina. Remember, he's only 21 years of age, and he did have some less than stellar performances, let's say that, against Virginia, NC State, Clemson, Miami. It was some missed throws, some not precise throws, and some things like that. Now, he's only 21, another year at North Carolina. Say, well, he could have been the number one pick overall, and he probably could have been. So, again, can he fine-tune things? Got a little longer delivery than some prefer, so there's some things to work on there. Drake May, mixed opinion on him. I think from a Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State, I had people like say, Mel, if he runs 4.5 to 4.55, he's a first-rounder. He ran 4.6. Now, is he a second-rounder? But he had the great gauntlet. Like Puka Nacua had the great gauntlet, went fifth round, became like a played like a first rounder, great rookie year with the Rams. What happens with Keon Coleman? So mixed opinion there. Byron Murphy II, defensive tackle at Texas, didn't have tremendous production, but he's a talented kid. Will the light go on? Will he be consistent in the NFL? Will he be dominant? So mixed opinion there. Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback Alabama, some mixed opinion on him. I mean, it's so many guys this year that exactly are what you're talking about. Some really like him. Some are a little questionable. And the range of where he'll go in the draft, some think maybe mid first, some think second round. So kind of all over the place on some of these guys this year.
I've never seen Chris Cody this happy.
This is so cool. I just keep going. Keep asking him questions. I just want to listen.
I will. Mel, who's the quarterback? So Caleb is the best quarterback. He's the best player in the draft. Who's the quarterback that might go in, let's say, the third or fourth round that might turn out to be the best player or the best quarterback in the draft? Is there a guy out there?
Is there a Brock Purdy out there?
Yeah.
Good luck trying to find it. Right. I mean, that's the thing. We'll be looking for Tom Brady. Then Brock Purdy came along. You know, another 20 years for somebody else, maybe. I don't know who it's going to be. I think the guys that are going to be hoping you can find somebody like that will be a Michael Pratt from Tulane, maybe Spencer Rattler, who left. Ironically, Caleb Williams got that job in that Texas game,
right.
Brought him back, and Spencer Rattler moved on to South Carolina. So, again, Spencer Rattler, Keaton Slovis, who's moved from started at USC, then he goes to Pitt, then he's at BYU. And so he's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle a bit, but there's some things to like about Keaton Slovis. So I think those are some of those guys down the line, like Michael Pratt, who actually beat Caleb Williams in a bowl game after the 2022 season. So, you know, Michael Pratt did a heck of a job for Willie Fritz with that Tulane Greenway program. And he's going to get some attention maybe in that fourth round, early day three area.
I'm just going to go through some of the positions here, Mel. Best wide receiver in the draft is blank.
I'm sticking with Marvin Harrison Jr., loyal to a fault on that. I see a lot of Larry Fitzgerald, and people are talking about Fitzgerald. Some are taking this, like, hey, you didn't separate and do this. He's like, Larry Fitzgerald was great. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be great. I'll tell you what, the battle for two was interesting between Neighbors and Odunze. I went back and forth all year. I was Odunze, but then Neighbors ran a little better. So how do you settle it, guys? When two guys are equal, that's when speed and testing wins out. Odunze is fast enough, but Neighbors is off the charts. He's explosive. So to answer your question, I'm sticking with Marvin Harrison Jr. Neighbors and Odunze are right there as well, very close.
All right, best offensive lineman.
I'm going to go here, you know, and this is, again, where you talk about Joe Alt from Notre Dame, slightly over one of my favorite players in the draft. Now, why isn't he number one then? Well, he's not a left tackle guaranteed, even though he's got longer arms than Joe Alt, but he's projecting into guard. And that's Troy Fa'utanu from Washington, who's going to be like Zach Martin. Zach Martin was a left tackle at Notre Dame, became a Pro Bowl guard with the Cowboys. That's who Troy Fa'utanu is going to be. If you're looking for the best run blocker, who's going to just drive you off the ball and destroy you and maul you as a run blocker, it's J.C. Latham from Alabama, who could go to the L.A. Chargers if they moved off of 5 or the Jets at 10. So that's kind of the different guys. But I'd say Joe Alt with Fa'utanu right there as well.
Go ahead, Mikey. Yes, you ask it.
Mel, there's a team picking around 10th that's looking at a certain player, and I just want you to tell me something good about Brock Bowers.
You need 10 minutes, 20 minutes?
Take as long as you want.
There's
we're both
a lot
Jet fans.
To
yes.
love about Brock Bowers. I love a guy who steps onto the field as a true freshman out of high school, and nobody can stop him. I mean, no defensive coordinator can stop him. Everybody's frustrated because, you know what, you can move him not just all over the field. You can put him in a backfield. Okay, in the wing, H-back, every slot, at what? You can do everything, but he will run after the catch. He's a decent enough blocker. I mean, Brock Bowers, I know he had the injury this year. He had the tightrope surgery and all that. The first 2 years, he was unbelievable. He came back from the injury. Forget this year. It just didn't go the way for Georgia. And certainly for Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey was banged up as well. But overall, he's just a phenomenal, I call him a pass-receiving weapon. People say, well, he's just a tight end. He can't go in the top 10. Well, TJ Hockenson, last time I checked a few years ago, went 8th overall. How'd that work out? Now, he's not with Detroit's with Minnesota now, but the bottom line is, you know, Pitts went high. People are still waiting on him. Now maybe he'll shine. Cousins is in Atlanta. We'll see what happens there. But for Brock Bowers, if he goes 10, Jets fans, I think, should be very happy.
Dolphins at number 21. I think defensive tackle's a need, offensive line's a need, maybe a slot, like a number 3 receiver. It's deep, I've heard. This draft is deep in receiver and offensive lineman. Where do you see the Dolphins going at 21?
They're pretty wide open. They could go Graham Barton, who's a center guard out of Duke, played left tackle, who's going to go somewhere right in that area where the Dolphins are picking. The Steelers are another team's a possibility for him. You mentioned defensive tackle, Byron Murphy the second. He's going to go somewhere in that Bengals area, in that area there. Rams looking for the next Aaron Donald. He's not Aaron Donald, but they're going to be looking for a defensive tackle who has a ton of talent. Byron Murphy the second would maybe be that guy. Xavier Worthy from Texas is a 4-2-1 blazer who's 165-pounder. He's another one of those splendid splinters, right? We talked about that with Devontae Smith. And the original was Ted Williams. Then Devontae Smith came along about 168 pounds. Here's another one right here who's a heck of a player and Xavier Worthy from Texas. So they're in a pretty good spot. The draft's going to fall pretty well for them in terms of the players they may be looking at. All three, four of those guys I mentioned could still be there.
Mel, who is the best defensive player in this year's draft?
You know, I think at the top, I'd say Dallas Turner from Alabama. You know, and I'm a little hesitant to say definitively because Leiatu Latu from UCLA would have been the best edge rusher. It hadn't been for the question with the neck. But as long as you can reconcile that, you're fine with that. And the medical is fine. Leiatu Latu is a natural pass rusher off the edge. So he's right there with Turner. Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo emerged as the best cover corner in this draft. Had a great career, great Senior Bowl week, ran 4.33 at the combine. So he's your best corner. Pass rusher, like I say, either Turner or Leiatu Latu. So that's kind of where it stands right now in terms of the defensive players. It's not a great, I call it the nifty nine. It was the nifty nine was the offense. It was all offense. The nifty, right. Now it's kind of the elite eight because Olu Fashanu's dropped down just a bit to tackle from Penn State. So it's kind of an elite eight offensive guys. And then you get into guys like that, Jared Verse from Florida State, some like. That's another mixed opinion guy, Mikey. Jared Verse, defensive end, Florida State. A little stiff in the hips, you know, a little tightness there. But he had production at Albany. Then he comes to Florida State for 2 years. He's getting after it. He's a powerhouse. He works hard. He hustles. He could go as early as 9, 10. He could drop down into the 20. So mixed opinion as well on Jared Verse, defensive end from Florida State.
Mel, we want to get you out of here in a second, but the big news this week, Bills traded Stephon Diggs to the Texans, leaving kind of a big glaring need for the Bills. And we talk about how this is such a deep wide receiver class, but I'm more curious, do you think it's worth them to take all it's going to take to move up from 28 to get maybe one of those big three wide receivers? Or would you rather, or do you think there's enough there for them to stay at 28 and maybe take a wide receiver then?
Mikey, you know as well as I've never been into notes. I never have notes hanging around, right? Yeah, notes. So you can't go to Kuiper's Callers, Mikey, and I'd say, oh, hold on, Mikey. I got to check my notes, right?
That's why you're the best, Mel. That's why you're the greatest to ever do this.
Tennessee. I mean, No.
No notes for Mel.
But I do have notes on this. I checked the Julio Jones trade, guys. And when Julio Jones, you say you can't move up from 27 to 6 like Atlanta did. Atlanta moved up with Cleveland from 27 to 6 to get Julio Jones. That was the same year A.J. Green went fourth overall to the Bengals. They flip-flop picks, right? They went from 6 down to 27. They got the 124th pick, excuse me, the 59th pick, which was a second-round pick, 124th pick in that draft. So that's a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick. And they got a first and a fourth the next year. That's what they gave up to get Julio Jones. Wow. They flip-flop picks. A 2 and a 4, then a 1 and a 4. Wow. So there you go. So it can be done. Buffalo doesn't have a 3. Buffalo can use next year's draft to move up. And you know who they would be targeting? It's not going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. He figures to go to Arizona. Malik Nabers figures to go to the Giants. It's going to be Romo Odunze. Romo Odunze, wide receiver, Washington. If he's around at 7, 8, and he's sitting there maybe getting down to 9 for Chicago, that's where you got to jump ahead of the Bears. I think if he's there for the Bears at 9, that's who they take. But that's where you probably got to get to. Similar, like to say, what Atlanta did with Julio Jones. So if Buffalo feels that Odunze is that good, you go up and you try to get him. If they feel like an Adonai Mitchell from Texas, who's got to get a little bigger, a little stronger, add some weight and strength to that frame, but he doesn't drop anything. Josh Allen will love him. Adonai Mitchell doesn't drop a catchable ball. And he's got the size and the catch radius. Maybe him. Maybe Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. Big body, had a great year at South Carolina. Really, he was a one-year wonder there. They want to go up a little bit, maybe to Brian Thomas Jr., who was the true one-year wonder at LSU. He did more this year than he had done the two previous years combined. Had 17 touchdowns, 17-yard average per catch. They could maybe go up and get him. That they love Worthy, who's a kind of move-him-around guy. They could go do that. So there's different ways. They could go up all the way in the top 10. They could go up maybe 4, 5, 6 spots. They could sit where they are and hope one of them falls in their lap. They're fortunate. Wide receiver is the deepest position in this draft.
But is it worth it for them to move up, giving up all that? Do you think it's worth it? Is the gap between Odunze and those other guys worth it?
It is. It really is. I mean, I think Field Yates and I talked about it this morning on the First Draft podcast. By the way, every Monday and Thursday, wherever the podcasts are in your area,
boom!
I'll promote that. First Draft podcast, Field Yates and myself, every Monday and Thursday, find it. And on ESPN2 awesome. As well, at 2 o'clock on Mondays. But damn. In terms of the gap, there is a gap. You have Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers or Romo Odunze. Let's go Nabers for the sake of argument. Then Rome, then a gap down to either Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, Xavier Worthy, Texas. Yeah, okay. Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Xavier Leggett, South Carolina. You mentioned Keon Coleman. He's down just a little bit after that because of the speed. So I think there is that gap. So there is a reason to say, I got to get one of those big three. And that would be if he drops, like I say, into that 6, 7, 8 range before Chicago at 9 picks, it would be the reason to maybe move up and get Romo Odunze from Washington.
All right, Mel, we will get you out of here in just a second. But if you owned an NFL team and you could select any GM to kind of oversee and run your draft, who are you going with? Who's doing it better than anyone else right now, Mel?
I think Eric DaCosta with the Baltimore. And I'm not a homer
They're
here
so
in Baltimore.
Good.
Just right. Check out the Ravens. How they been right. The last X amount of years,
yeah,
right?
Really good.
Ozzie Newsome, Hall of Famer. You know, Steve Bisciotti, great owner. You got John Harbaugh, heck of a coach. Brian Billick, good friend of mine, heck of a coach. With Super Bowl ring before that. Everything's continuity, okay? Sticking with your people. Joe Ortiz just left to be the general manager of the Chargers. He was here in Baltimore under Eric DaCosta, right? So you think Phil Savage, another good friend of mine, had been here in Baltimore. He's now with the Jets. A lot of there. So you got a lot of guys around the league. But I would say Eric DaCosta, in terms of GMs in the NFL, does it as good, I think better than anybody. Does it a great job scouting, evaluating for the draft, manipulates things with the draft well. Remember all those fourth round picks they had a few years back?
Yeah.
How'd they turn out? Pretty doggone good, right? Mm-hmm. He gets it done in terms of locking in Lamar. He hits with the free agents. They let some guys go. Think about Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
He came for a visit to Baltimore. Remember, everybody's visiting teams, right? And bring guys in. Kyle Hamilton visited Baltimore. I think John just said to him, what are you coming for, crab cakes? Because we're not going to get you. We're not going to see you where we're picking.
Right.
He slid down to Baltimore. They got Kyle Hamilton. Why? Because he ran a 4.6 and change 40. How'd that turn out? Kyle Hamilton's one of the best defensive players in the league. Terrell Suggs ran 4.8 and change. Got to Baltimore. How'd that turn out, right? So Eric DaCosta, Ozzie Newsome, that Baltimore Raven way has worked exceptionally well. So I would say, to answer your question, Eric DaCosta, Baltimore Ravens GM.
Who's doing it the worst?
I'm not going there.
I just wanted to say
no way I'm touching that one.
Okay.
No, maybe you'll touch this one. No.
Maybe you'll touch this one. It is lying season. Over the years, who has lied to you the most?
Yeah.
Huh?
Besides the guy,
because I'll get a lot of trouble. I was lied to once, really bad, really bad, and I look bad to different people. Fortunately, it never made the air.
Right,
but one good friend of mine at ESPN knows how much I was lied to that particular year. Now, I don't know if you can figure out who that great friend of mine is,
right?
But he's the only one that really knows that. But I was lied to bad.
All right.
And I was told the next morning, kind of told you a little bit of a fib. Kind of did.
Yeah. Book Mikey C on the show, okay? I mean, he's the guy. He knows it, right? It's him or McShay. Or Dari. It could be Dari.
Or Dari.
It
could be Dari.
Get Dari on next week.
Hey, you never know. But it had to be somebody in the football realm. I'll give you a little bit of a hint. In that football realm.
Shefty.
Yeah, you know, that. And the football. Keep going.
Field Yates.
Mort.
Keep going. Yeah. Like I said, it was something. What it was, like I say, you're always lied to, but it's the it's like JJ McCarthy doesn't throw interceptions,
right?
But he threw a couple memorable ones. Remember the pick sixes in the TCU semifinal game?
Yes.
The one right before the half against Maryland, three against Bowling Green. He didn't throw many with nine over the last couple of years, but you remember some of them, right? And JJ McCarthy's still going to go really high. You kind of remember the lies. Lies kind of always kind of remember. You remember the lies more than the things you were told. But no, luckily, guys, you know why I wasn't lied too much? Because the people that I knew that anytime they would give me, most knew, I'd say 99% knew when you told me something that wasn't going any further.
Right.
Mikey knows. Did I ever tell you, Mike, anything I knew? No, we never talked about an Odari and Mel show. Never. I'll tell you what, I got screamed at one time. This is a little insider stuff. Scott screamed at doing a SportsCenter cut in when I knew what the Cleveland Browns were going to do, because Ernie Accorsi, who was a great friend of mine with the Baltimore Colts, and then he was general manager with the Cleveland Browns and New York Giants. Great job wherever he went. Ernie told me who they were taking one year. Went to a SportsCenter cut. I said, well, I can't really say right now. I'll talk about that when the Browns were on the clock. I was like, you can't be teasing everybody. You can't be doing that. I'm not losing a friend over that. So I waited until they were on the clock. And that's when I talked about it. And I always mixed in. I would never say one. I'd mix in two or three guys that could be. So I think the good friends I had, guys, in the league, and luckily I've had a lot of them, over the years. Some have unfortunately passed away over the years. That it was great. Jack Faulkner, one of my best friends ever with the LA Rams, phenomenal. And Jack, I don't remember Jack ever told me anything. I never really, we just had a great friendship. And he was unbelievable. Buddy Ryan, what a great man he was. Was a great friend of mine. And the list goes on and on. Chris Mortensen, obviously, lost Mort recently. Great, great friend of mine. And Mort will be right here right now saying, don't talk about me, talk about the draft. You know, but Mort was unbelievable. And so I think having so many great friends over the years, they knew whatever they told me wasn't going any further. And they're usually the ones that lied to you didn't know you that well, because if they did, they would trust you to know it wasn't going any further. So that's, I'll leave it at that right now. Some friends you thought you had, maybe you didn't have, I guess I'll leave it at that. Sure. And I always say, if you have one great friend at the end of your life, you'd be happy. Luckily I've had a few more than that in the NFL, but usually the ones I have 99% of the time knew if they told me something that important that they're, then there was no way I was mentioning it to anybody.
Mel, we did mention Chris Mortensen. So he was a dear friend of mine. I know he was a dear friend of yours. He was very good friends with me and Dan. He lent us his credibility that, quite frankly, we needed at that stage of our careers. A fantastic guy, and I miss him. I miss him a lot. And I know how much he loved you and respected you, Mel, because I asked him and he told me how much he loved you and respected you. I told Schefter the same thing. I wanted you to know that. But just talk about what a great pioneer and friend he is.
I'll say about Mort. Yeah. I'll say this. Mort, when he would leave messages, that's what I miss. Right now, he would be calling and saying, Mel. Or he would call up and say, Lauren, our daughter, because it'll be Lauren, Kim. Tell your dad to call me. Tell your dad he needs to call me. He needs to call me. That would mean Mort saw something. He saw something I was saying that he maybe was going to steer me in a different direction, a better direction. Mort would always steer you in the right direction. I miss him so much every day. Yeah. For Mickey, for Alex, the family. It was just that day to hear that news, and we knew what Mort was dealing with all these years. And I tell you, what a great man. And I tell you, this is the time of the year where we would be talking just about every day. Yes. So you're right, Stu. There's no question. One of the greatest ever, and what a great friend he has been to so many people.
Yep. You are great as well, sir. We appreciate your time. We know it's a busy time. It's your time of year, though, Mel. You own it. You own the next month. So check out Mel's podcast. You want to promote anything on the way out? Mock drafts all over ESPN.com. They're everywhere. Go ahead, Mel.
We got stuff all the time. The First Draft podcast, guys, Monday, it's on YouTube in the morning and in the afternoon, ESPN2 at 2 o'clock. On Thursdays in the afternoon, YouTube, check wherever you get your podcast. First Draft podcast, me and Field Yates, we're going to be rolling through, and it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, the Dari and Mel show Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to have a lot of great stuff NFL draft related there. And like I say, it's just about every day. .com radio TV has something talking about the draft.
You're the best. I need a cigarette. We're excited. Matt Wolf, Bubba Watson with us. Live Golf is in town. It's at Doral in Miami. MyTickets.LiveGolf.com is where you can purchase your tickets. Again, that's MyTickets.LiveGolf.com to purchase tickets. An exciting event coming up. Bubba, the last time we saw you was in Las Vegas, Radio Row, right before the Super Bowl. You couldn't go to the game. You had to go home to attend something very important to your wife. But Chris was crying on your shoulder. Yeah. Are you still scarred from those events?
From which events?
When I was
remember, you guys, or
if you remember, I was freaking out because Tua did poorly at the skills competition at the Pro Bowl, and you were consoling me.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, I couldn't right. stop you, thinking about it.
The good thing is that you let stuff go. That's the best part.
No, we hold on to it forever. That's what we do. Yes,
exactly. Oh. Man, how about my Chiefs though, huh?
What do you mean your Chiefs? You said you were a Dolphin fan when you started with us.
Me and Swifties all around the world.
Right. Well, put us there. Like, what happened? The Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Your second favorite team in the NFL. They won the Super Bowl. So put us there. What happened? You're in the living room. What's going on there?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I mean, I cried a little bit. You know, I mean, and now Fields can't come to Miami anymore. So we got Tua still.
Right.
So I mean, we're ready now. The Marlins need to get a win. Well, I mean, we're six games back right now.
Right.
But I threw a strike in my first pitch. I threw a strike. He never moved the glove, by the way.
Right. No, I saw that.
I didn't see it. Amazing. Did you go to the top of the mound or right out in front?
No, you always go to the top of the mound.
I'm an athlete, man.
Right. Yes, he's lashing out at you.
I mean, and it was great because
tell him, Matt.
Jazz said he wanted to catch for me. So he went there and he said, man, I never moved the glove. I was like, well, yeah, athlete. So.
Matt, Bubba told us, I don't know, maybe 6-7 months ago, that he would give up one of his two green jackets in exchange for the Dolphins winning a Super Bowl. Are you buying that?
Oh, man, no. Hell no.
But I've got two.
So. No way.
I'd rather have a Super Bowl ring.
I didn't even know the Dolphins were your favorite team. You're a Chiefs guy. I mean, no, I don't think so. I think the green jackets are probably your most prized possessions. So there's no way.
Well, there's only, just for the record, there's only one jacket. It's the same jacket for both victories.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
You don't have two?
Jack Nicklaus only has one.
That's... Tiger, you only have one. Everyone who's won the Masters multiple times only has one.
Yes.
That I don't like that.
So you're out now. You don't want to win there no more.
Wait, I don't want to win there.
Wait, no. I'm blown away like Matt is. You're saying Jack and Tiger only have one green jacket? That's it?
Yes.
What?
They only have one. And it has like inside the jacket, it has the years you won. So there's two numbers if that counts.
Is it your most prized possession, the green jacket?
It would be, but they won't let me take it home.
What is your most prized possession then?
Oh, man. My beautiful wife, there just in case go. She watches this.
So well done. Matt Wolf, what is your most prized possession?
I don't know, man. I'll say my girl. Oh, I'll say my dog, actually.
Oh, hey, my God. Dog, here my we dog. Go.
I'm changing it. My dog. My dog, Zeus. He's the man.
It makes me want to ask you, Matt, what would you give up for a green jacket?
Your dog?
Boring. Your dog? Would you give up your dog?
No way.
Wow, you're dedicated.
No
huh?
way.
That dog sheds so much. So much. Hair everywhere.
I know. And he smells terrible, too. So bad.
Man, your car has so much hair in it. I'm
so
like,
much. But it's white on the outside, so you know what I mean?
It's white on the inside from the fur.
Do you have the roller? Do you have, like, the lint roller?
No, he doesn't.
They call it a chom-chom. It's like, you like, it's, I mean, it's intense. Like, it gets everything.
Wait, Matt, if I tell you that you can go out, win the Masters, you get your green jacket, okay, the most prestigious tournament in the world, the one that everyone wants to win, and your dog...
You're about to get rid of his dog?
No, but I'm placing his dog in a very caring home with a very caring family, okay?
So still alive, but not with
still
you
alive,
anymore.
Still alive, very happy, you just can never see the dog again. You're telling me you're not doing that? Get out of here. Come on.
Oh, it's a hard decision. No shot.
There's a lot of dogs out there, Matt.
No shot. I mean,
you could buy another one.
I mean, how many interviews this guy's got to do because he's won two green jackets, man? You give up so much time.
Only
I just want to hang out with my dog. I just want to bring it to the beach. That's what I want to do.
I don't even know him anymore.
Let's get Bubba's live reaction as the biggest Dolphin fan.
My dog is out. I'm sorry, kids.
I don't got any kids.
Your dog
is. If I had some kids, I'm a kid. Him. We're both kids.
It's true.
Wait, Bubba, where do you draw the line? Would you give up your dog for the U.S. Open?
Oh, yeah, dog's gone.
Clearly. Any major.
I'll give that dog out this week.
Just to win this week at Doral, you're saying.
The dog's out. Like, I'm good.
That is amazing. All right, let's get your instant reaction here as the world's biggest Dolphin fan. Stephon Diggs just traded from the Bills to the Houston Texans. How about that? Oh, look at Wolf. Wolf is freaking out.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, we're
it just broke. Yeah.
CJ Stroud with Diggs.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oof.
Mm. Yeah, what?
That's going to be a hard team to beat.
Good time to become a Texans fan, Bubba.
Get out of our division.
I'm making my jersey right now.
The Bills are worse. That's just so.
Yeah. Matt, are you into football the way Bubba is?
No, not football. Baseball. I'm a Brewers fan, though.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. No one's gonna accuse me of hopping on that bandwagon, really.
Christian Yelich falling off a little bit the last couple of years, huh?
I mean, if you look at his stats this year, he's doing pretty good.
Yeah,
right.
Six games in, man.
Yeah, that's a very small sample.
Christian Yelich also went to my high school, so.
Okay.
Mm.
Or did you go to his high school?
No, mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose high school is it? That's a good question, Bubba. Right. I mean,
he's older than you, right?
Yeah, that is good. You got some baseball qualities, though, Matt, in your swing. Is that kind of fair to say? Because Chris Cody is a very good golfer, but also played baseball growing up. And I see some hints of a baseball swing when I play golf with him. You have some of that, right?
For sure. Yeah, I lift my heel like off the ground. I load really hard into my right side. And as I'm coming through the ball, I stay like back and go up and through it, whereas most people try to like hit on top of it and cover it. So I don't know, a lot of people say growing up like don't play golf and baseball because like those two swings don't go together, whereas I feel like there's a lot of things in my golf swing that come from my baseball swing. So I mean, it might not work for everyone, but it works for me.
That's the peak of my golf career right there, being put in the same sentence as you put me and Matt in the same sentence. And that's the peak of my golf career.
It was
right
a terrible job.
Well, that was the peak of my baseball career, to be honest.
Have you seen Bubba's baseball team play?
I haven't. No, not the Wahoos. I need to get up there. Mm. But
the season starts on Friday, though.
If it was Miami, I'd go for sure.
I can get your free ticket.
All right. I have to pay for the popcorn and stuff. So.
Silver Airways has a flight from
back and forth. I need a round trip though.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
So what is the team dynamic with you guys? Obviously you guys are wearing the same shirt. You're on the same team. Like, is it, do we get frustrated with each other? Like, what are the team dynamics that live?
Yeah. Sometimes he gets mad if I don't button my top.
I'm like, you got to button it all the way up, man. Don't show the chest hair like that, man.
Looks good.
Thanks. Team dynamics. I think we're good. We're trying to just have fun and enjoy, but we're trying to win for each other. I think it's been a good start to the season. Obviously, we want to play better, but with the two new people on the Range Goats, it's been fun. Been learning experience, but I think it's been a good learning experience.
Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying it's definitely a learning experience. I think like golf being a team sport is new to all of us. So we've gone, you know, doing our own thing, you know, just whatever we want to do for so long that now when it comes to a team stuff, like, you know, not only interviews, but practice rounds and stuff like that, which is, you know, sometimes people want to do their own thing. So it's kind of hard to manage all that. But I will say it is very beneficial because when you do get everyone together and stuff, you're finally on a team. So you're asking, you know, Bubba, like, you know, what do you do when you're trying to hit this certain shot or around the greens, Peter, you know, like, how do you hit this shot? And so it's kind of cool to get some, you know, advice and feedback from actual teammates rather than, you know, going to ask someone who just wants to beat you and has no, like, they don't want you to play good at all,
right?
You know, back on PGA Tour. So it's cool. It's cool. I love it. And that's why I came to live. And I'm glad I'm on a team that feels right for me.
Are you guys tired of and I'm certain you probably are, but are you guys tired of all the back and forth with PGA and Liv? Like, hey, we made our decision. You guys made your decisions. Let's just move on. Right. I mean,
yes, to that aspect, but to grow the game and to get the tours together. I think we have to have conversations higher up people than us, but yes, I mean, the Liv players we're just trying to play golf and trying to play good. It's the PGA Tour players that keep bringing it up and they're getting more interview questions about it. And the guys here that are interviewing us are all about the team aspect and about the individual golf going on right here this week. So it's just really from that side that's pushing the envelope still and pushing the media out there. But I think when the heads come together and the board members come together, I think that golf will be in a better place when it's all worked out. But
I do wonder, Matt, for a guy like you, because we just talked about possibly giving up your dog to a nice family who's taking good care of the dog in exchange for a green jacket, is playing on the Live Tour, I don't want to say is it worth it, but the fact that you can't play at Augusta, that has to hurt you, right? Like, that's, you want to be playing there every single year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the majors are the biggest tournaments of the year, you know, and I think, you know, having a chance to play in all those, in all the majors. Actually, I didn't play in the British Open yet, but the other ones, you know, they're special events. You know, I think you can tell the vibe and the aura around the week is means a little more, and you know, it's special, and there's a lot more history behind it and stuff. So, you know, I definitely, you know, miss playing, but more importantly, to be honest, like the reason I miss it the most was all the best players in the world are together. You know, and I think that's what like the golf fans and, you know, we want, you know, in reality, like, you know, I think when we made the jump, you know, we all did it for different reasons and stuff. But at the end of the day, I think if we can try to get the best players in the world together again, you know, that's better for everyone, for the fans, for the players, for TV, for, you know, sponsors, for everyone. So, you know, I think that's what the majors are really all about. And, you know, I think hopefully one day we'll work this out. That's way above my pay grade and my knowledge. So I don't know how that's going to happen or what, or if it's going to happen, but, I'm surprised they haven't done like a PGA Live like Ryder Cup.
I was going to say that should be the fifth major. I'm telling you right now, they should have the Live guys versus the PGA guys. It should be a fifth major. I'm with you.
I'm surprised, like, just like in the world of business and like everything that's going on, I'm shocked that it hasn't happened yet. But, you know, that's why I'm not running this thing, I guess.
Bubba, did you fall for the Tua max contract April Fool's thing? It was on Twitter for like an hour on April Fool's, and it got me.
I try not to look at social media that day because it's just going to be chaos, right?
Stephon Diggs to the Texans, right?
That was late. It must have just got Wi-Fi up there. So
that was today,
through.
Though, not April 1st. Yeah, okay? That's a real story. Right. Yeah.
April 1st. I think
but to your point, story. It had me going to WFAN. So, I mean, it did, and people bought it. So you don't pay attention to social media on April 1st. Is the
not on April 1st. I mean, there's so much chaos going on, even the real stuff.
Yes.
It's like, wait, is that real? Did that really happen? So, yeah, it's just, I don't look at it that day.
Are either of you guys pranksters? Do you guys partake in April Fools?
No.
I didn't this year. Yeah. Not really.
No, we're boring, man. We're just golfers.
Yeah. I'm really sarcastic.
Bubba, you're not boring.
Yeah.
You're definitely not boring.
Matt, you're not boring either. I don't know why.
No, Matt, you're not boring either. I just know Bubba better, so I know, right.
I'm definitely.
You're definitely not boring.
Who's more fun at parties?
I mean.
You, for sure.
Yeah,
with your dancing skills?
By a mile.
With his dancing skills?
Really?
Oh, man. Oh, he tears up a bar mitzvah?
And I should dance.
I said you tear up a bar mitzvah or a wedding or something like that?
I did tear up my bar mitzvah. Absolutely. I teared it up. I teared up all my friends' bar mitzvahs. I teared up every single one I went to.
All right. Did you do your own?
The grape juice really went down.
The grape juice, the Manischewitz. Did you do your own Haftarah portion? Because I farmed mine out.
Oh, absolutely. I did it all. I remember, really? I don't know anything. I don't know what it meant. I just memorized it. So
I had a guy named Kyle Weissman do it for me. I couldn't memorize it. Bubba, real quick here. And again, you have the Live Tour. It's in town at Doral this weekend. You can purchase tickets, livegolf.com, mytickets.livegolf.com. Bubba, quickly, the Dolphins draft. What are you thinking here? What are we thinking?
Oh, my gosh. We need I would say wide receivers, but we don't need that. So
we do, actually, Bubba. I think we need a number three receiver.
Right, but listen, Tom Brady made receivers out of anybody, right?
True, yes.
But look what Tom had and what these guys have. Offensive line, we need people that are going to fight and fight for the quarterback, whoever the quarterback is, and protect them. And that gives them that half a second or second longer is what's going to create the other wide receivers being open, right?
We're going to miss Wilkins.
Hill's open, so he's good.
He's always open.
Yeah,
I'm a Jets fan. Tell me about Brock Bowers, because the recent mock drafts coming out are saying, and you're a big Georgia guy. Yes.
Let me be honest. That's the guy. That's the guy that's going to be the next tight end, right? And he's a living legend now. Whoever gets him is going to be excited, because that guy is all about working, all about dedicating to football, and he's going to show other. He's going to lead by example, even as a rookie. So
you're saying that because he went to Georgia.
No, because he's phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to get where he, I don't care. Who cares where he went? I mean, he's a beast.
But it's,
he is,
but well, it's Georgia.
But also Georgia.
Wolf is on the right path.
I mean, just because I hung out with him on the sidelines doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying. He's really good at what he does.
Jets, man. You're a Jets fan?
I am, yeah.
He's devastated. Four plays in last year.
I feel bad for Bowers. I mean.
He's so good. He can quarterback.
Garrett Wilson. And then if you got Bowers along with that, I mean, they got Lazard. They have some weapons.
And he doesn't know football.
I was about to say, you just named some guys. I don't know if they're good, but
right. There were some guys. He doesn't know what team they play on, but he heard those things.
He knows more players than I do. I've been a fan of the team for 40 years.
Relax. It's all right. My best friend's a diehard Jets fan, and he's miserable.
We all are. I would give up my dog for the Jets to win a Super Bowl. I'll say it right now. Wow. I don't care. And I love my dog Finnegan. But if I'm putting him in a nice home with a nice family, can't see him anymore. I don't care. I got a Super Bowl ring.
Finney's old at this point, too. Yeah,
exactly. Hey, I do have a question. You're playing the Pro-Am tomorrow, correct?
I believe so, yes. Not with you, though, I'm told.
Well, that there's a reason for that.
You got the fun one. That's why you asked.
Yeah, you got the fun one. he can dance. When you make a birdie, he'll dance for you.
Okay,
so
that's a deal.
My question for you is, what kind of putter do you have? Because we're launching these this week for putters. And so what kind of putter do you have?
I have the one that in your left hand. That would be the one that I would use.
You have a mallet?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Then we got you. We got you a head cover. When you get out here tomorrow for your putter.
What do
you'll look cool. No matter how bad you putt, you'll still look cool.
Got the shades on.
All right. So you're going to dance. Wolf, you're going to dance every time I get a birdie. Huh?
So no dancing for you tomorrow.
No dancing.
I won't be dancing. Right.
I'll
dance when our team gets a birdie.
Okay. Yeah. What should I do if you get a bogey, though? Like, is there something I should do? Just
as par as your partner, so he's fine.
Yeah. Okay. There's not going to be much dancing if that's the case. There's a lot of water out there.
All right.
Every time he gets it in the water, you dance.
Is it best score? Because I could say pretty confidently that we're going to be using Matt's ball every single time, okay?
Yeah. It's best score.
So, you use it's best drive and then play your own ball from there with strokes.
Okay. All right, good. All right.
Like it's a shamble.
Five a hole. All right, gentlemen, we appreciate it. LiveGolf.com is where you purchase your tickets. A big fun event in town this week at Doral. Bubba Watson, Matt Wolf. Guys, we enjoyed this, and I will see you at the Pro-Am. I am looking forward to this.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
All right, Chiefs.
What?
Go Chiefs. Oh, come on, Jesus. Bubba.
Come on, man. I'm Big Jet.
Go Brewers.